Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We continue right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, talking preseason week number two. And we'll do so right now as we inch closer and closer to the start of the regular season with a Pro Football Hall of Famer, 11-time Pro Bowler. Did play in the National Football League for many years with the Steelers, 49ers, Ravens, and Raiders. Now doing a sensational job with the NFL Network, and that's Rod Woodson, kind enough to give us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Rod, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. Thank you for the time, and how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on, and we really do appreciate it. The last time you were playing in the National Football League was 2003. I know in 2017 your run did come to a close as a coach with the Oakland Raiders as you were the cornerback's coach. How much do you still miss the game? Do you still, this time of the year, still get that itch to either play or coach football?
Well, I do not get a play. I do not get an itch to play, I could tell you that. I haven't got that itch in a long time. I really what I love about it is I just love the grassroots part of it. That's why I got into coaching. We do our camps with the Hall of Fame Academy around the U.S. and internationally, so I get to talk to more kids about American football internationally and locally. So I still get my fair share of getting on the field and talking to people and praising up our great game of American football across the globe, and that's what keeps me going these days.
And with training camp, there's a lot of hard work going on when you were playing and a lot of physical practices. There's also moments where you could bond as a team. Do you have a good training camp story or two, whether it was a rookie prank or just something very competitive that you remember from your days playing in a training camp?
Well, when I first started, playing, Chuck Noll was still the coach, and we were banging, going, almost over five weeks in training camp, having two practices a day, both padded practices. And then kind of eases up as I go to Baltimore. And then when I go to Baltimore, and I think a lot of people have seen this before in our first inaugural Hard Knocks with the Ravens in 2000 when we had Tony Siragusa and Shannon Sharp, probably the two biggest kids, that played in the National Football League. But, when Goose kind of just took it in his hands to get to Shannon and he hit his car. So that was like the best thing that we said in over for the next week or so. Shannon wanted his restitution. We saw that little portion.
Restitution.
I think quite a bit.
I'll never forget that.
When people see that on their Hard Knocks replays, one of the rookies in the rookie show.
Yeah.
That to me is like part of what football is about. It brings that bonding. They don't do it as much today. Just for the fact they're not in training camp as long. They're in training camp for 16 to 17 days. But that's still the moment where your team can grow as a football team. And you become more than just football, just become teammates. You become friends. Those friendships go into your retirement. And, I still talk to Goose. I still talk to Ray. I still talk to Shannon. So to me, I miss those moments more than I miss playing on the game days.
I'll never forget that scene in Hard Knocks. I was actually watching it the other day when whoever the rookie was saying Goose and restitution. It's a special moment as we're talking to the Hall of Famer Rod Woodson on CBS Sports Radio. Let's stay in the AFC North. We'll take you to Pittsburgh. No Antonio Brown anymore. No more Le'Veon Bell. You still have Ben and Mike Tomlin. We'll see what Juju Smith-Schuster could do, being the number one wide receiver. Another year of James Conner. They move up in the draft to get Devin Bush. What's your early feel on the Steelers? What do you think they're going to look like this upcoming season?
I listened to a take from Bill Cowher, and I think Bill's right in this sense that this is the first year in many years that people aren't talking about the Steelers. Steelers are normally, you know, one of the top several teams in the AFC, and everybody's always talking about making a strong run in the postseason. And this is the one year they're not, so it's kind of that. I think that's a positive for them. And if you really look at it, you know, offensively, their offensive line is still there, so they got a strong offensive line. I still think they got a very good running game. Getting Snell Jr. in the mix, I think he brings a different dynamic than Connor. You know, I think what your question was, you know, is Juju is at number one. He can be a number one, but now you need to find out who's that number two. Who's going to be that guy? You know, is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be Moncrief? Who's going to be that guy to step up to the plate them on a consistent basis on the offensive side? They still got Big Ben. I think the offense is going to be fine. My question mark comes to the defense. I think interior, they're great. I think the linebackers are coming around. Is Devin Bush, is he going to be that guy to make game-changing plays inside of one of those big games? And then secondly, on the secondary side of it, you know, who's going to take the side or take the opportunity to make plays? Outside of Troy Polamalu, the last time they've had somebody to make plays in that secondary, that's been quite a while. You know, Troy's probably going to be in the Hall of Fame next year. So it's been a while that the Steelers haven't had that game-changing secondary player that they've been looking for quite a while.
We know the defense is going to be such a huge key, but nationally and probably locally too, win or lose, you know, fair or not, you know, no matter what the defense does, everyone's going to point towards Ben and Mike Tomlin because there was a lot of controversy last year. The way that Ben did criticize Antonio Brown, even though AB has his problems of his own. And then there's always that question about Mike Tomlin. Does he have that control of the locker room? What do you want to see Ben and Coach Tomlin really change this year? What do you think they need to do differently than what has happened the last few years in Pittsburgh where they come up short?
Well, I mean, you know, Ben made the statement that, you know, he's re-energized. You know, he loves the game again. And that's a good thing to hear. You know, if you start losing that love of football or that love of something you've been doing your whole life, you probably shouldn't do it anymore. So I'm glad that he's energized again. Secondly, I would like to see him be a leader of Ben first. Great leaders normally take the responsibility when things go wrong, even if it's not their fault. And then once you do that, everybody else falls in line. I like to see him do that more often. And then I just like to see Mike. You know, I think Mike hadn't really had a losing season since he's been there. You know, the last year didn't end up the way the Steelers wanted it to. The last several years didn't end up the way they wanted it to. But the one thing I can say about Mike, he's a good coach. The only thing I would like to see him do more is just be has a little bit more thumbs down on his players because it's just like having 53 teenagers. You have 53 teenagers. Well, you're not going to let your teenagers just run the roost in your house. You know, if they do something wrong, you have to discipline them in some type of manner to catch their attention. And I think it's the same thing has to happen in the locker room. So I think if he does that, he's going to be fine. I think the football team is in a good position. And this is the first year that I can think of, along with Bill Cowher, is that I haven't really thought about them being the front runner in the AFC. So they might. I think they can sneak up on some people. I think they're going to have a good year. I still pick them to win the North. The question is, on the defensive side, who can be that guy to make the difference?
Since you go a little bit in specific there about Tomlin and maybe being a little bit more critical and also holding the players a little bit more accountable, you have coaching experience. I know you weren't a head coach with the Raiders, but how difficult is that now to find that balance of not coddling the players, because a lot of players expect to be coddled now, and also giving them tough love and not losing that player as well. Is that difficult to find that balance?
No, I think players want to discipline. Players want to be challenged, but you have to do it in the right manner. Every player can't be spoken to the same way. And as we said in Oakland, you always have to learn your learners. Bill Belichick is a no-nonsense guy. And the reason he's no nonsense, and the players know it, they know what they can and cannot do around Bill. And I think, you know, I think they have that same mindset with Mike. I would just like to see Mike put his hand when certain players, like when Antonio did his Instagram live feed
in the locker room,
in the locker room several years ago. The next week, he would have been suspended for me if I was a coach. That would have sent the message to everybody else in the locker room. Don't act a nut. If you act a nut, you're not going to play.
Even during a playoff game, you would do that?
Yeah, you have to set a statement. to the players, because if you let them start feeling that they can just do whatever, they have no consequences, there's no disciplinary action at the end of it, they're just going to escalate. And it did escalate for AB. I know AB has more issues outside of that. We've seen this with the Raiders, but I would have liked to see Mike just be a little bit tighter with his disciplinary actions with AB and the leaders of the football team. Because when you start disciplining your leaders, everybody else, again, will start falling in line.
And we're talking to Rod Woodson, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, right now. Let's continue with AB, because this has been a crazy offseason with all the videos he's been posting on the elliptical, the Mr. Big Chest stuff. Then you have the feet and the helmet. This past few weeks, it looks like he's close to returning. I hear you laughing, and you wonder, because, hey, we all know this is a great talent. You wonder where he's at mentally. You look at Odell Beckham, too, another great talent that got paid, and then he wanted out in New York. You start to wonder, are AB and Odell Beckham, are they worth the headache in a team sport?
Well, I think there's two different ways. You know, I think OBJ, he does not compare to what Antonio Brown has done the last several years outside of football. I think they're both extremely talented players. They are. And when you have extremely talented players on your team, it's easy to win football games. It really is. But where there is a line between how much talent you have, and then when you start breaking up or compartmentalizing the locker room to your little section, that's when you start losing the team. And I think, you know, I'm not saying AB is doing that in Oakland. I know there were some rifts in the locker room in Pittsburgh. I can't speak for OBJ in New York. I just know OBJ was frustrated with Eli Manning in New York. So I think OBJ is going to be fine in Cleveland. You know, I think Baker Mayfield knows who he is. They got a nice little trio in Cleveland for the receiving core. So I think they'll do their damage. But, you know, AB, I just think he's one of those guys that, you know, if everything goes sideways with the Raiders, if they're not winning, if he's not having 13 touchdown catches, if he only has like six, you know, with 10 games into it, and they only won five games or six games, my question, where does he go? Does it go sideways, or does he stay status quo and he becomes that leader that he's kind of been quiet since he's been back about the whole helmet thing and the foot thing? So, you know, I would like to see him grow as a man. And his maturity outside of football, and hopefully that'll lead to his maturity in football. I think he's old enough now to know what's right and what's wrong, because he's a tremendously talented player when he's playing at his best. The question is, if everything goes sideways, which direction does he go with? And hopefully he'll be the leader that I think John Gruden and Mike Mayock wants for the Oakland Raiders.
We're talking to the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Rod Woodson right now on CBS Sports Radio. Rod, I know you said you do two segments with us, so let me put you on hold right now because we're up against the break, and we'll come on back with the Pro Football Hall of Famer. This has been a really fun part one of our conversation, and in part two, I want to delve into Andrew Luck and his health a little bit more on the AFC North. And then, of course, the contract situations with the Dallas Cowboys. So he's Rod Woodson. I'm Zach Gelb. We're coming on back right after these short messages on CBS Sports Radio.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Yes, that's right. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's bring back on the Pro Football Hall of Famer and Rod Woodson. Kind enough to hang out with us here for two segments on CBS Sports Radio. Rod, do appreciate you hanging tight with us through the break. Excellent part one of our conversation. Let's pick things back up. I know earlier we were talking about the Steelers, and you made the point, along with a conversation that you heard from Bill Cowher, this is the first time in a long time not many people are talking about the Steelers and selecting the Steelers as one of those top dogs in the AFC. Even with all that said, I know you did say that you still believe the Steelers are going to win the AFC North. However, when we look at the rest of the division, and there's a lot of noise with Cleveland, and there's also a lot of conversation being made about Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Give me a little feel on Baltimore and Cleveland, and how much of a shot do you give those two teams to win the division?
Well, I like the Ravens just for the fact that, you know, but I want to see the growth And I know a lot of people saying that he is kind of growing. I want to see the growth of Lamar Jackson throwing the football. I think we all, if anybody saw the game last night, I mean, that spectacular run that he had, you know, I haven't seen a run like that from a quarterback since Michael Vick has been in the league, even though I think it was called back from a penalty. But I still want to see him, you know, progress positively in the passing game. I think their defense, you know, who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be the leader? No T. Sizzle is there anymore. Who's going to be that leader on a consistent basis verbally? Because they do have talent. They have a talent across the board. I think, you know, one of the guys that a lot of people who really don't talk about is, I think Humphreys is a really good young player for them. So I think that defense is going to keep playing well. Lamar, if he can throw the football on a consistent basis in the pocket without taking big hits, I think they're going to be okay. My only question mark with them is, you know, they haven't won for so long, and I know their expectations in the locker room. I know Baker Mayfield and multiple guys in that building have said that their expectations are high. But when it starts going sideways, because you haven't won for so long, you know, you're in these close games, you lose your first close game, you lose your second close game. Does your mindset wane? Does it change at all? That's one thing I need to see, because they haven't done it in so long. I just need to see it on a consistent basis, because they do have the talent. But talent doesn't win football games all by itself.
Rod, let me transition you to two teams that have been in the news as of late, and I'm wondering where your concern level is at with the Indianapolis Colts, with all the latest with Andrew Luck, as it seems as we're finding out more and more by the day with this mysterious ankle injury. And then with the Dallas Cowboys, they look like a really good team on paper, probably them and the Eagles in the NFC East. However, with the Cowboys, they have three players in Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and Ezekiel Elliott who want to be paid and haven't been paid yet. So you wonder how those distractions will play out. So where's your concern level with Indy and Dallas right now?
Well, let me start with the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck. I mean, heck, I don't think we've known the health of Andrew Luck over the last 4 years.
It's bizarre. And I feel bad for him, you know, too. It feels like it's going to be one of those careers where we just say, man, it was going to be so great, but you wonder how much pain he could take.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Right. If he stay healthy. I mean, it's just one of those things that I don't know what the injury really is now. You know, I just heard some of the press clippings about they got to make the decision after the third game who they're going to go with, after the third preseason game, who they're going to go with at quarterback position. That's kind of sad because he does have talent, but he's been hurt, and that's problematic for a football team. And if you have a hurt player, and that old saying that, you know, it's hard to help the club when you're in the tub. You know, it's the same thing for him, and he's been in the tub quite a bit. But when he does play, they do play better. So hopefully that he overcomes that. Hopefully they get through that. Hopefully he does play for them. Now go to the Dallas Cowboys. You talk about the big three. Amari Cooper is another year away. You know, Dak, I think you can – you don't have to work with Dak if you don't want to, because after this year you can franchise Dak. And I think he's making like $2.5 million this year. You can franchise him. I think it is going to be about somewhere between $25 million or so. And then you could franchise him again if you wish. So I think you can really wait on Dak. Zeke, I wouldn't even mess with, because I think Zeke has two more years on his contract. I'm not a fan of players skipping training camp or coming into camp who's under contract. If you're under contract, you should be there. You should try to talk in good faith. If you can't get those contracts straightened out, or the verbiage right, or the numbers right, maybe they can trade you. But you have a decision to make. I would hope that the Dallas Cowboys set a hard tone with Zeke. Dak is one of those guys. I don't think they have to pressure themselves to doing it yet, because they do have that out.
How do you view him as a quarterback, by the way? Because I think he's above average good. He wins, but I don't think he's great.
Well, he's not great. Listen, there's only – when you look at the National Football League, there's – you know, you got Tom Brady, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Drew Brees, you got Ben and Phillip. They're kind of in the same category to me, even though I think Ben, he's won more because he has a better overall team around him. So those guys are different than all the other quarterbacks in the National Football League. Then you have all the other quarterbacks that are, you know, they're trying to find their way through the whole thing. So, yeah, is he a great quarterback? No. He had some really good numbers last year, especially after Amari got there. he had the one game where he threw for over 300 some odd yards. I think Amari had 9 catches for 180 yards in a game or something like that. That's not who he is. He is more of 22 for 35, you know, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns, maybe 1 interception, maybe no interception. That's who he is. And if that's what they think is a winner, and the quarterback market is $30 million. So that, I don't have a problem with that, because that is the market for starting quarterbacks. And he's better, and he's been winning more. So this, you know, everybody wants to rate the quarterbacks on their win-loss percentages. His win-loss percentages, he's been in the National Football League, is pretty good. That's better than, you know, some of those guys who are making the $30 million. So when you look at him, you know, I think he is who he is. I don't think he's going to improve too much more than that. But at the end, I think, you know, you got to figure out, are you going to pay the big three? Because if you pay the big three, then you lose all your backups. You lose all your other guys that you still have to come through the market sooner or later with those guys, the linebacking core, the secondary for the defensive side. When they come back up, you won't have the money, and you're going to have to let them go. So, you know, the Joneses have a big decision to make. You know, like I said, I don't think you have to do anything with Zeke. Zeke has 2 more years on a contract. Dak, you really don't have to rush to do that either, because you can franchise him next year. And Coop, I think he has another year or so on his contract. So, you know, I think everybody's talking about it. They do have to address it sooner or later, but it's not as a big issue as I think everybody's making it, because the way the CBA is written, they can do certain things with the franchise tag, with the quarterback, and Zeke. I just wouldn't talk to him until he came back in if I was the front office.
Well, then you wonder if he pulls a Le'Veon Bell type of situation and just doesn't show up this year.
But he has 2 more years.
Sure.
So
which is a difficult situation.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to show up this year. Then you're going to sit out for 2 straight years.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Now,
and you look at Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell set out thinking that he was going to make $20 million or a lot more money than he did. And, you know, the Steelers offered him 14 and a half. He didn't get close to 14 and a half. So you have to make sure you're fighting the right battles and you're going to a team who can help you get to your end result. And, you know, when you go into the Jets, I don't think they have the same offensive line as the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, last one for you, Rod. If you could only pay 2 out of those 3, they make a decision, you know, Jerry and Steven, we're just going to pay 2. Who do you pay out of Dak, Zeke, and Amari Cooper?
Oh, that's a good one. I would have to pay Dak and Zeke. Because I think the way they're set up, even though that a Coop did come in, he did help Dak with the passing game. His passing percentages went up. His passing yards went up. His touchdown passes went up. His interceptions stayed down. I do understand that, but the way they're built to run the football. And I think there's some stat where every time Zeke runs the ball over 25 or 22 times,
they win.
They won like 99% of their games. That's the way they're set up. So I would pay those 2 and try to find a way, hopefully, to keep Coop in the house in some capacity.
Great stuff. You can follow him on Twitter, @RodWoodson26. Hall of Famer, we appreciate it as always.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Hall of Famer Rod Woodson going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk some NFL with him. Daniel Cormier, before he gets ready for his fight coming up later tonight, will join us at 4:40 a.m. Eastern, 1:40 a.m. Pacific. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Chuck and Blake, I'll squeeze you in during this segment before we get to Rod at the top of the hour. I just want to touch on 2 things before we get to the phone calls. Kyler Murray was playing preseason football the other night against the Oakland Raiders, and it wasn't pretty. Now, I'm going to be truthful with you. I didn't watch the entire game. I barely watched any of the game, but I was watching the highlights and seeing some of the conversation that was happening yesterday. And the Raiders were blitzing him a lot. He only had 12 yards in the game. He could not run the football. Only had 1 rushing attempt for 4 yards because they were blitzing to him. And it was a little bit slow for him to drop back. Even though he was in shotgun, they were getting to him very quickly. which is an offensive line problem, also a way that they're snapping the football too, and probably a lot of inexperience from the quarterback. But the thing that was really alarming, and it's something that is correctable, it's something that's going to need to be fixed and adjusted, but you're wondering what they're doing during OTAs and during training camp, is he was getting flagged for offsides because of the way that he was clapping before the snap, and they made it as if he was doing a motion that was not allowed. So basically after the game, Murray said the officials told him it wasn't that he clapped during the snap count, because you see a lot of quarterbacks who, come on, let's go. It was how he clapped that drew the flag. Apparently I was just too abrupt, not smooth enough as far as bringing my hands together goes, Murray said. To me, it's like any other hard count. It's the defense's job to watch the ball, so it doesn't really make sense to me. Yeah, as defensive lineman, as someone that's played defensive line now on a high school scale before, they always tell you, you got to watch the ball. But if you're making a motion that is abrupt, and I look back at it, it's something that it's the way that it's officiated. But clearly it's a point of emphasis on Murray right now. And according to the NFL rulebook, any quicker abrupt movement by a player in position to receive the snap in the shotgun formation, including thrusting his hands forward when there is not a simultaneous snap, is considered to be a false start. It's something that I want to see what's going to happen in week 3 of the preseason and how he does adjust and how he does change. And if this is something that Cliff Kingsbury couldn't identify, then that's on the coach. If Murray knew that this was going to happen, then you have to find a way to change it. It's something that you go, all right, it's not the end of the world because it's so early in his career, but still at the end of the day, this is the second week of the preseason. You would think your first overall draft pick would be able to do something that is so simple and be able to get the ball to be snapped to him, and it would be able to be a smooth transition in that process. So really, this is something that it makes you raise an eyebrow and you want to see what adjustments will happen. Now, Josh Gordon got reinstated, by the way. And by the way, back to the Murray thing. If you're Steve Keim, you have to watch every game this year with nerves, even though it's the preseason. I don't really care about the preseason results because you moved on from a coach and a quarterback after year number one. His tuchus has to be on the hot seat in Steve Keim. He's had off-the-field issues. You move on from a coach and a quarterback after year number one. You better show me some signs this year from Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray that you made at least something that could look like to be the right decision. However, getting Josh Gordon, Patriots get a big plus. For now, we'll see how long it does last, but Josh Gordon to be reinstated on a conditional basis. I thought he was going to receive some suspension. I'm glad that he's back, and I hope that he could get past the demons, and it's going to be a day-by-day battle. But I guess because of the fact that he was indefinitely suspended since December of 2018, they did look at that and say, okay, that constitutes for a suspension. It doesn't need to carry over, especially with an issue when it comes to addiction of marijuana. So he's reinstated. It's going to be a conditional basis. He's going to be subject to appropriate progress on clinical care and other arrangements. He's will be permitted to participate in team activities, including practices, but will not be allowed to play in the Thursday, August 22nd preseason game because he hasn't had time to have the proper conditioning and practice time since he's been suspended. You want to get him up to speed and all that. Goodell said they're rooting for him personally and professionally. Who can't root for Josh Gordon? Put the Patriot stuff aside. If you aren't a Patriot fan, which is most of the country, this is someone that has had a lot of demons. He's had to battle them. I hope that he's past them, but you never know. If he is able to play, well, then he's going to be really good, because last year, in a short amount of time after getting traded, he had 40 receptions, 720 yards, and 3 touchdowns for the Pats. Him and Brady are on the same page. We know what he's capable of. 2013 had almost 1,700 yards and 9 touchdowns. So I'm really rooting for Josh Gordon. I hope that he gets past what did happen in his past. But here's the thing. You never know how long this relationship is going to last, because everything seemed good last year in New England, and then he got suspended again. So let's hope this is the end for Josh Gordon with this past, and now we can focus on football with him. But this is something that's always going to be hovering over his head. And if you've ever had any addiction problems, or you know someone that has an addiction, even when you think it's going really good, it can get really bad. You hope it doesn't get bad, but it literally is a second by second, day by day, hour by hour type of situation. All right, let's go to Chuck in Cleveland next up on CBS Sports Radio with Zach Gelb. Chuck, how you been, my friend?
Hey, man, you know, man, I'm all good, man. You know, I'm always living my best life, you dig?
Yeah, I got you. What you got for me?
I'm going to tell you right now, this is where you got rules missing on everything all over the board, for real. You like all over the place. You up here, really, the whole country, like, kind of lightweight, got a hate for Cleveland.
I don't hate Cleveland.
No.
Hold on. I said I would like to see you guys do well.
I'm talking about the Browns. Don't get technical when you know I'm talking about
okay.
the Browns.
Okay. I don't hate the Browns.
But this is what I'm telling you right now.
Well, you're telling me I'm all over the place. You come in with the statement.
Please.
I'm going to get a little defensive here.
Let me show you where you're all over the place at.
Go ahead.
For you to understand where you're all over the place at. Okay?
All right. Make your point. Let's go.
Now, look, man. Check this out, man. Let me put it simple plain like this. When LeBron came back to Cleveland, right? Didn't you automatically make us a playoff team?
Yeah, you had LeBron James. He's the best player in the sport.
Of course. Thank you, because LeBron is proven. Thank you. Period.
So who's proven on the Browns? Who's proven on the Browns? Who's proven on the Browns? Now answer the question, Chuck. Who's proven on the Browns, Chuck? Answer the question. Who's proven on the Browns?
Who's proven? Okay, is Baker Mayfield good?
He's not LeBron. He's good,
Baker,
but he's played one year.
Hold on, bro. Odell Beckham is not a proven player.
How many playoff games has he won?
Laundry is
zero.
Not a
zero.
Player.
You can't compare it to LeBron, Chuck.
Or proven
on, Chuck.
Players. I'm with you. Come on.
What are you saying?
I'm telling you right now. How can you take one sport and have proven players? And you're
because it's a different game.
They gonna ball.
It's a different game. Chuck, I think your team's making the playoffs this year. Chuck, wait a second. Chuck. You zip it. It's my show. You zip it. I think you're making the playoffs this year. But there is cause for concern when you have so many egos in place. I remember the Eagles a few years back. They had that dream team with Nandi, Asante, and DRC. And look what happened there. And, Chuck, I got to let you run because I'm up against a break. And, Blake, hang on tight. We'll get to you as well. Apologize not being able to squeeze you into this segment. But if you're going to just reference all LeBron comes back and you thought they were great, so that's a proven talent. It's one of the greatest players of all time. I like Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to be good. I like Odell Beckham. I'm a big fan of Odell Beckham. I don't hand out a trophy, though. Which is moves you made in the offseason. You got to prove it to me. I think Cleveland will have a good year. I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. No, I don't. Settle down there, Chuck.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. Shoot me a follow, send me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio coming up. In about 35 minutes, Daniel Cormier, as he gets set for another UFC fight. Could be his last one. Little Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier will talk to DC coming up in 35 minutes. Very excited to chat with DC. I want to bring up his Saints, by the way. He's a big Saints fan. Last time I talked to Daniel, it was right after the two or three days following the Saints-Vikings Minneapolis Miracle game. And he was getting ready for a fight against, I think Uzdemir was the UFC fighter he was going up against, if memory serves me correct on this one. And he said he was kicking a chair and he almost broke his foot in preparation for a fight because he was that irate and that frustrated with the ending of the Saints and Vikings game where Case Keenum connected with Stephon Diggs on that Minneapolis Miracle. So I'll bring up, sorry if you're listening to us in Louisiana, I'll bring up the no-call Saints and Rams, and we'll find out where he was and also talk a little bit about his career as it could be coming to a close if this will be his last fight, and also delve into a tremendous E60 that was done on Daniel Cormier by Ariel Helwani, who did a great job covering his entire career. Now, Daniel's actually, in addition to being a UFC fighter, is also a high school wrestling coach. And we all know that Daniel, his daughter passed away, his baby daughter, back in the early 2000s. So very excited to talk to Daniel Cormier coming up once again in 35 minutes. By the way, Graceffo, did you see this Little League World Series sportsmanship act that happened yesterday? Did you see this at all?
I got to be honest with you, I did not.
Okay, so you're not a fan of Little League World Series.
I was a fan of sleeping in the afternoon.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Because you're pretty much nocturnal at this point.
Yeah. I mean, depends. Working here, you're never on a set schedule when you're a little man on the totem pole like me.
Yeah, it was odd when I was filling in for Taz and the Moose this past week, and I would walk outside and it was really bright outside.
9 a.m. It was like 9:30. You were walking outside. It must have been weird.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I went home. Slept for 2-3 hours, got up, went to the gym, and I still had, you know, some time to do other things.
Imagine that.
It was great. Because usually when we leave here, it's 6 a.m., you're a zombie. You're just, get me to my car, get me to my bed. I want to go home. Just let me go to sleep.
6 a.m. or 4:06 Eastern, like right now. You feel like a zombie.
I'm pretty up right now.
Well,
I'm alive right now.
I'm saying that I feel like a zombie right now.
But you're always feeling like a zombie.
That's true. Walking around angrily.
You are pretty nocturnal, though.
Yeah. If it were up to me, I would never work in the morning.
So I wasn't watching the Little League World Series, but I saw this surface on Twitter. So I don't know if there's a background behind it, if these kids know each other, if there's a certain story. So if there is, I apologize in advance. I'm not going to rip the kids either. Because that's just not the right thing to do. However, the long story short, the pitcher allowed a big home run. When the player who hit the home run, he was a lefty, as it was a shot to, let's say, like about right center field. The whole team was coming on out as he's rounded third base. The pitcher went up to the guy that hit the home run and dapped him up a little bit, took his glove, little high five exchange. You know, that's nice sportsmanship. You have everyone going crazy on Twitter. Oh, incredible parenting, incredible act of sportsmanship. And it's a good act of sportsmanship. If I was a kid, though, and I'm going back to when I played baseball or when I played football, if I allowed a sack, let's say, when I was a left tackle, I'm not getting up and going up to the kid and shaking his hand and saying, great job, you beat me. Or if I allowed a home run in baseball, I'm annoyed. This one's a little bit interesting. Now, once again, it's kids. It's fun. People get too worked up sometimes with the Little League World Series. I saw there was a whole controversy about sign stealing, and I laugh at that stuff. I wonder how this is going to be perceived, though. Because on Twitter, you have no clue how things are ever going to be perceived. I see a lot of it as awesome. That's what it's all about. Good parenting, blah, blah, blah. And then others are saying, how do you do that as a competitor? So where do you lie on this one? If that was me, put it this way. This is how I'll ask it, not to rip the kids or anything. If that was you on the mound, James Graceffo is at the Little League World Series. He's got the double XL shirt on. He has the cap on, and the hair is flowing. You're like Noah Syndergaard on the mound, and you throw a pitch, and boom, it's a home run. See ya. Are you going up to the kid and congratulating the kid, or are you annoyed?
Never in a million years am I going up to the kid and congratulating him.
Yeah.
Never.
And see, that fits
this
your personality.
This is competitive spirit. I don't care if it's tiddlywinks or it's pool or it's ping pong. I'm trying
what?
To beat you.
What was
ping
the first
pong.
What's the first thing you said?
Tiddlywinks.
What's that?
I don't know. It's a game, kids. Jacks.
Wall's mic wasn't on, but I heard it as well. Cause
it's whatever. It's whatever up. Game we're playing.
What the heck is that, he said?
You know what? I don't want to be the old guy ripping the generation that's coming after me, but if this is what we're looking forward to, then I'm gone.
See ya. Peace. That's very fair, because everyone now is about sportsmanship. I remember when Cody Parkey had the
great.
Double
wait
doink.
Wait till the game's over.
Right? Remember when Cody Parkey had the double doink, and the next day he was on Good Morning America or the Today Show?
And that's why Cody Parkey will never get a paycheck from the NFL ever again.
But people go, oh, we have to honor him. He has some of the most class, blah, 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 blah. You could win and be a jerk.
Some teams right now that should call Cody Parkey, but they won't because of the Today Show interview.
And you could lose and you could be frustrated. You don't have to apologize to everybody.
No,
it gets
you know
all
what?
Nauseating.
When the game's over, I'll shake your hand. I'm not going to enjoy shaking your hand, but I'll shake your hand.
Okay.
While the game's going on and this is happening, yeah, no, I'm not a fan of that.
I do think we get a little obsessive now. It's different when you're in high school and when you're growing up. There should be some level of sportsmanship. You don't have to genuflect to your opponent, but I understand the whole shaking hands thing. In college and in the NFL, if you lose a game and you want to just run off the field, I'm okay with that.
Me too. Depending on the situation.
Yeah, I think we overlook it sometimes. I think we put too much attention on it sometimes, and we get freaked out afterwards. Oh, this person, didn't shake this person's hand, blah, blah, blah. And then there's times where people go up to shake people's hands, and the guy that you go up to may have lost, and he doesn't want to shake your hand.
You know what I'm doing?
Yeah?
I'm spitting in my hand and then shaking your hand.
Well, you're a pig.
Earth to you, losing sucks.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the way life should be.
Hey, just a reminder, I'm a Mets fan. I know what it's like.
No, I know. You're talking as a fan. You're talking about that as a spectator. In the world of competitive spirit, you never want to lose, no matter what you're doing. So, like I said.
Like, there was one time I remember, I was playing basketball growing up, and there was a team that was absolutely dirty, and we beat them. Now, when you win, you want to shake their hand and go, aha, see, I got you. However, there's been times where I've played dirty teams and we lost, and they're throwing just like ridiculous screens, like cursing you up and down the floor, and really hitting your other players, and you don't want to talk to them after the game when you lose. You just want to get off the field, get off the court.
Yeah.
But
especially,
in the moment,
especially
though,
when you're playing for, you know, a championship. You're playing for the Little League World Series.
And sometimes you get a little bit too crazy with the way that they bend the rules
But those are parents.
Yeah.
Parents should know better at that point. But if I'm a 13-year-old kid and it's me against you and it's the best one-on-one battle it could be, pitcher versus hitter, and I give up the bomb, I'm not shaking your hand.
No, and mentally right away, if I give up a home run, I would say, you know what? And I would want to just get back on the mound and face the next batter. I'm not shaking that kid's hand in the middle of the game.
Never in a million years. And like I said, if this is the generation that's following us, yeah, I think I'm getting out of this business.
You probably just won't have kids.
Right. Well, yeah. That was a given beforehand. I'm not doing that.
All right, K-Wall, you're on the mound. You're the pitcher.
Never in a million years you're going to see me shake that kid's hand.
Never.
And if my son does that, I'm walking on the field and taking his butt out of the game.
Get out of here!
You're out of here! No, I'm not. We don't play that game in the Wall family. We're competitive people. We're trying to win. And if you shake your opponent's hand in the middle of the game after he hit a 250-foot bomb in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, no, you deserve to get out and think about what you just done. Take a lap.
Take a lap. Uh-oh. That's a Mraz in training. We have an MIT, a Mraz in training. New term.
I hate that.
Take a lap.
You know, the participation trophy and all that shenanigans. We're going to shake the opponent's hand in the middle of the game.
Oh, that's the worst.
No.
There's nothing more.
I don't play that game.
I'll never forget when I played Little League Baseball. We were in the World Series. Not the Little League World Series, but our version of the Little League World Series. And in our Little League, our local Little League, we were in the championship game for our age division. I think I was in 7th or 8th grade. We had a 4-run lead entering the final inning. So what, 6th or 7th? I forget what it is in Little League. And we lost. The pitcher just blew it. They never took him out. And we lost. And they gave us a second place trophy. I don't even know where that thing is. When you get a big trophy that's a second, or when your team stinks and it says, oh, participation trophy, stop it. I don't take those things.
No, I'm with
I
you.
Don't.
Same thing. We had a 3-game series.
Now, when you're like 3 or 4, that's different. But when you get a 6th, 7th, 8th grade, I don't need a participation trophy.
No, I'm with you on that. I actually got tossed from a game one time, and my manager...
Literally?
I was like 14 years old. I tried stealing second base. I got called out. I told the umpire it was a horse bleep.
You definitely deserve to get tossed.
I mean, I thought I was going to get a warning, but my manager wanted me to go apologize to the umpire.
Well,
I said no.
You should.
In the middle of the game.
No.
He wanted me to do it in the middle of the game.
That's totally different. You're a 14-year-old punk, and you're telling the umpire is probably a high school kid, like 17 years old, to bleep off, basically. No. That's a bad job by you.
I mean,
if I was your parent, I would have walked on to the field and would have said, "You're getting a timeout."
Thankfully, my parents weren't there at the moment.
Wall, go stare at a wall for about an hour. That's what I would have said to you. All right. So yeah, I don't love the whole participation trophy, and if I'm giving up a home run, and I played more football and basketball, like I can't imagine playing football, allowing a sack and then going up to the defensive lineman. Hey, buddy, great job. Appreciate it. Dap me up. Great job. Could not imagine it. I think my football coach would grab me by the face mask and make me do 1,000 up downs on the sideline.
That's like when Andrew Luck gets sacked and he's like, oh man, nice hit.
Yeah.
What a weirdo.
Well, a lot of players do that.
It's so weird. I don't get it.
You remember Edelman against the Seahawks in the Super Bowl? He got hit. He goes, yeah, I love this. Those athletes are wired differently. A little bit crazy. So if you were a little league pitcher, you allowed a home run, would you be okay? Let's say if you were a teammate, you see this. You're a third baseman. You see your pitcher allow a home run, and right in front of you at third base, the kid runs over and says, hey, great job, man. Would you be okay with that if you were on that team? 855-212-4CBS. This is such a summer topic, and I absolutely love it. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Graceffo, by the way, it's the Zach Gelb Show, as you know, on CBS Sports Radio. Very interesting tweet that occurred at 1:13 a.m. Eastern. Any idea what it is?
You're going to have to fill me in.
I'll give you a hint. There is a former world champion manager who was implemented as a hitting coach this week in a certain NL East team.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Charlie Manuel.
Yeah. Okay. Which, by the way, doesn't reek of total desperation at all.
Well, yeah, they are desperate. They had to change something. And do I think it's the hitting coach's fault? Now, they've been on a tear ever since implementing Charlie. No, I don't. But that could wake some guys up. But if you need that to be woken up, that's a problem of its own.
On a scale of 1 to 10, though, how uncomfortable is that for Kapler, though, having Manuel, like, right behind you?
Well, they said this isn't a long-term thing. They don't.
But still, it's a guy who won a World Series there. He's beloved.
Beloved. I know Charlie. Charlie is beloved in Philadelphia.
Anytime Kapler makes what a broadcast will perceive to be the wrong move,
fans are going to say, come on, we got to put
camera
in Charlie Manuel. Fire game.
Go to Charlie.
Mm-hmm. So Charlie Manuel is feeling pretty good about himself these days. You know what he tweeted out at 1:13 a.m.?
You're going to have to tell me.
Just the letter I. That was it.
Okay. Kind of tells me he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, with hitting, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, on the Twitter machine, doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing.
You think he may have just rolled over? And
it might have been a Roman numeral one.
Maybe left the phone in the pocket.
Could have been.
Tweeted something out.
He's got to work on his lock screen then, like have his phone locked.
Have you ever tweeted something out and you didn't mean to tweet it out? Whether it was you were talking smack on someone or...
No.
I once tweeted out, thanks, and I remember it was a few weeks ago. I looked at the tweet, and I said, when did I tweet out thanks? Bizarre. So I changed my password. I got a little
You got a little paranoid?
Yeah, I got a little paranoid. I thought someone maybe was hacking my account. By the way, if you hack my account and you write thanks, could be a little bit better.
Is someone really trying to hack your account?
No, I think maybe I was just perusing Twitter and was in the bathroom and may have tweeted something.
All right, that's too much information, but you can continue.
Well, I know you're very against when people are...
I am.
Are tweeting.
Disgusting.
And going to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, your phone in your hand at any point while you're in the bathroom is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. So far, we have to get to our four-word breakdown, by the way. We haven't done an AFC division yet. We've done all the NFC divisions. We've talked about the NFC East, the NFC South, the NFC North, and the NFC West. So let's kick things off on the four-word breakdown, the way this works if you're new to the program, which, by the way, I'd like to welcome back our friends in Boston to the extravaganza. We had a nice run on the other station. Now we're on 93.7 in Boston on WEEI. So appreciate everyone listening to us on WEEI. Or if you're tuning in thinking, oh, where'd you guys go on the other station? You're listening on radio.com or SiriusXM channel 206. If you do live in the Boston area, you can listen to us on 93.7 FM WEEI. So we do welcome them aboard
is there in the Entercom family, and now it's nice to be on an Entercom family station in Boston. Anywho, though, the way the four-word breakdown works is we do a division, we give you a little phrase that's four words, and that's how we preview the teams. So we did so for all the NFC teams. Now we'll do the AFC North. That's where we'll start things off. The Steelers. It's the Big Ben Steelers. Very simple. That's what Pittsburgh is now. They told you in the offseason, Ben can do whatever he wants. There's no more Antonio Brown. There's no more Le'Veon Bell. I understand that Mike Tomlin, even though he just got an extension, he's under the microscope. He should be criticized. Even as Rod Woodson say, you got to be a little bit tougher. You got to be, you don't have to let the players just do whatever and run free. But this is on Ben this year because Ben now only has James Conner. Ben now only has Juju Smith-Schuster. He's now the number one guy. I understand. I'm cognizant that defense has to play better. They drafted Devin Bush in the first round, traded up inside the top 10 to snag him. But this is on Big Ben this year. And Big Ben can't have one of these games where he throws five interceptions, where he throws a pick at the goal line and doesn't want to take any responsibility for it. We need to see Big Ben have one of his better seasons because there was a lot of noise, a lot of craziness, a lot of hoopla, and now you have to get back to getting this team into the postseason because you can't miss the postseason 2 years in a row. This is on the quarterback. You can't be throwing 17 interceptions. We got to see Big Ben go out and have one of his better seasons. So it's the Big Ben Steelers. The organization wants it this way. They took the side of Big Ben. They went with the two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. And they said, even though you're up there in age, you're 37, you turn 38 in March, we still believe in you. You're our guy. It's the Big Ben Steelers. Used to be the Killabees. That's what it used to be. Ben, Brown, Bell. Now Bell in New York, hanging out with Graceffo. Now Brown is in Oakland with his frostbitten feet and the helmet that doesn't work and potentially stiffen a cook on $40,000. So this is on Ben this year. And you don't have the other two? Now you got to be the guy and play really damn well. The Browns, very simple, four words, must make the playoffs. You don't have to win the division. But you cannot have this much noise about your team, this much hype, this much drama about your team and not make the postseason. We've seen it before. If the Browns want to have a successful season, they don't even have to win the Super Bowl this year. They don't have to get to an AFC title game. They don't even have to win a playoff game. You must make the playoffs. That's simple on the Browns. Ravens, the year of Lamar. They got Earl Thomas on defense. They don't know more T-Sizzle and Terrell Suggs. They bring in Mark Ingram. I want to see what Lamar Jackson can do as a quarterback. Had success last year running the football. He has to know when to throw the football away, know when not to absorb the extra hit and just go down, the advice that Aaron Rodgers was giving him. And I got to see how he's going to improve in throwing the football. I've always believed that Lamar Jackson should get a chance to play quarterback. I remember right before the draft, people said, oh, he should move into wide receiver. He's had enough success in the past. Now we got to see him put it together. This is a big year for Lamar Jackson. It's the year of Lamar for the Ravens. And then finally for the Bengals. I don't know. I don't expect the Bengals to be all that good. They're without A.J. Green. He's banged up. They have a good defense. Defense got banged up last year. I like Geno Atkins. I like Carlos Dunlap a lot. But I don't expect much for the Bengals. I'm not a big fan of Andy Dalton. I think he's one of those quarterbacks that is just good, you know, like above average, let's say. And you had to pay him a ridiculous amount of money, and he's not worth it. That's the trap sometimes with these quarterbacks. But for the Bengals, the four words, no more Marvin Lewis. Those are my four words. The Marvin Lewis era is over. It's done. It's finished. Now Zach Taylor has to implement what he wants to do. There's going to be some bumps. There's going to be some tough times before you hope you get some good times. No more Marvin Lewis. How much does that change the culture in Cincinnati? And what's the foundation that you lay this year when you probably don't have a team that, you know, maybe they win six games at most. Maybe they go 7-9. Who knows? I think that'd be a bit optimistic. How does, Zach really change that culture? How does he do that? And it'll be very compelling to see how Zach Taylor does change that culture. So it's no more Marvin Lewis. Will that change just on its own, change that vibe of that team, similar to what the Browns did when they got rid of Hugh Jackson when everyone knew he wasn't the answer, And they brought in Greg Williams at the time. Now Freddie Kitchens is their coach. But it gave that team a little bit of a spark. So do you see some of that spark this year? Do you see some big-time changes with the Cincinnati Bengals? Peter Schwartz is here. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you? I'm doing well.
I'm doing fantastic. Always in a good mood when I get to see you and talk a little sports right here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I'm a little bit perturbed with you, though. I'm a little bit annoyed with you.
With me? What did I do?
So I give great food recommendations.
Yeah.
I should be a Yelp reviewer.
Oh, I know where this is going.
And last week, you tell me you're going to Cooperstown, or 2 weeks ago, because I was off last week. And so maybe that's why you forgot. But you tell me you're going to Cooperstown. And I go, oh, there's actually...
I brought bagels in last week.
Yeah. What the heck is up with that? I didn't get a... I'm here all the time. I treat you... You know, we have a good relationship.
I think so.
You know me since I was in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to do interviews all the time at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you don't bring me in a bagel? You couldn't wait till next week?
That's not why
I'm annoyed, but
well,
you bring
I know,
up another thing.
I know it's not why you're annoyed, but I will bring him in again. I just happened to be at the bagel place the night before.
None of those blue and orange Islander bagels. I won't eat that.
No. Okay. I'll get some green ones.
But I recommended you. I said there's a good place in Cooperstown. Not great, but good.
Yeah.
They serve good pizza. And yeah. I'm always, when you talk to someone from Long Island, I'm always very, very skeptical recommending them a pizza place because Long Island pizza and New York City pizza is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
But this is good pizza. They have, you know, your kids would like the wings too.
Yeah.
Above average chicken wings. And I see a post on Facebook yesterday that you went out for dinner and it wasn't the place that I
No,
I
it
told
wasn't.
You.
No, well, we went there? Thursday night. We went to the Double Day Cafe, which we had been to the last time. It was very good.
What'd you get?
We were there. What did I get at the Double Day Cafe? I got a burger there on Thursday night.
Medium?
Medium. Mm. Marinara sauce, American cheese. Maybe like a little pizza.
Sauce.
Yeah, like a pizza burger.
Huh. I don't know how that would enjoy pizza.
I've always enjoyed pizza burgers for a long time.
I've never heard of the concept, actually.
You've never heard of the concept of
a pizza burger?
You've never been to a diner in New York that had pizza burger on the menu.
You look at a diner menu in New York, there's a lot of options.
But every diner has the same menu, and there's a pizza burger deluxe
heard of
on
the
there.
Pizza burger.
You've never heard of a pizza
burger. I've heard of a pizza cheesesteak, and I wouldn't do that.
See, this is a stunning development.
Zach Gelb has never heard
of a pizza burger.
And a lot of people are probably listening, and they probably know what I look like, and they say, no, that kid's definitely had a few pizza burgers in his day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm shocked. Yeah. Now, instead of bringing in a bagel next time,
now, I don't
know.
I'm
going to be bringing
How
a pizza
How old are
you,
by the way?
Me?
40?
I'm 52.
Oh, you're. Oh, I thought you were in your
40s. Yeah, I'm an old fart, yes.
If I'm 52, I don't know if I'm still eating pizza burgers.
It was good.
That can't be good for you.
So you had
the pizza burger, then what else?
That was for dinner on Thursday night. For lunch yesterday, before we left Cooperstown, we went to the Hardball Cafe and had a buffalo chicken wrap.
Oh, okay.
Very, very good. Excellent.
You should have went to my guy Sal's.
Well, I had forgotten about your recommendation.
Did you see it at least?
We saw it because it was right next to the store where my kids got their personalized baseball bats.
Mm.
And I saw that and I'm like, pizza, nah, you know what, we'll do something a little more baseball. Like to me, like if it didn't,
sausage and peppers?
Yeah, it didn't. Like if you're in Cooperstown, I want to go to places that have a little baseball in the name. So we went to the Double Day Cafe. And we went to the Hardball.
I want a place that gives me a good meal.
But I got two good meals from both of them.
I don't know.
We had breakfast yesterday in this place called the Stagecoach. Actually, I had a really good bagel there yesterday, which is a very, very strange for being out of the New York, New Jersey area. Although, I mean, people around the country, well, you're in Cooperstown,
yeah,
it's New York.
Different.
But it's a little different than being in
downstate. Saying Buffalo's on Long Island.
Right. Right. I went to college in Buffalo for 4 years, never had a good bagel.
Yeah.
Well, you go to
Buffalo, it's wings, and
there actually were some really good pizza places. Actually, had some really good pizza places near
Bocce
my college.
Bocce Pizza? You ever been to Bocce?
We went to Lenova.
Lenova!
My Buffalo friends, Lenova.
James Graceffo's best friend, Matt Patricia. I was once staying at the Patriots Hotel. Got Lenova delivered, and he didn't get the pizza. He got wings from Lenova.
Well, the wings you went somewhere else for. I always liked the pizza from Lenova.
I think
Lenova.
James Lofton also likes Lenova wings.
It's very, very good. Mm. So if my friends in Buffalo are listening. A very good trip.
I'm glad you had good eats.
Everything was good.
All right? Next time I recommend you a place, I'm not going to send you to a crappy place.
I still haven't gone to that hot
Ruts
dog.
Hut?
Where is that again?
It's in New Jersey. Next time you go to a Jets or Giant game, you go to Ruts Hut, you get two Rippers, you get a Frenchie, you get a Chili. Your kids will say, Uncle Zach is the greatest uncle ever. Screw all the uncles in your family as well. Uncle Zach will tell your kids to get the proper hot dogs. All right?
And
you got it?
Nathan's.
Come on. Ruts Hut is an establishment.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Okay.
All right. Here is the legendary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.